to meet the men from the ministry. Join us now for some more magic moments at the ministry with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Guiler. In a normal office, people soon notice if a colleague is acting strangely. At the ministry, of course, peculiar behavior doesn't seem so unusual. But even here, it is eventually spotted.
I'm worried about Mr. Lyme, sir.
Yes, well, aren't we all, Mildred? You're thinking of his plan to grow potatoes in the window box.
Well, no, he's always had funny little ways with flowers, hasn't he? Mm. What worries me is he's gone so normal. I mean, he shuts himself in his office all day, reading and making notes.
Yes, yes, it is curious, now you mention it. Yesterday afternoon, he seemed quite listless when we were playing ping-pong on the computer. Couldn't wait to get back to his desk.
He's sitting there now, hunched over some books. Mm. He hasn't shouted or fallen over for hours.
Very odd. Perhaps we should have a word with him.
Mm.
Yes. Morning, two.
Morning, one.
Lovely day, isn't it? Feel like a stroll in the park or a spot of croquet on the roof?
Afraid not, one. I've got work to do, but thanks for asking.
Hey. Work, too? Not that Ministry of Transport job.
What's that, sir?
Hmm? Oh, they want to slow down traffic on the Snedfield motorway. I told them we'd sleep on it. Yes, we can make that last for months, you know. Provided Mr. Lamb isn't being impetuous.
No, it's not that one. I'm studying.
Studying?
Yes, I'm taking this correspondence course. How to be popular and dynamic for £1 a week.
Oh, so that's it, eh? Oh, dear, dear, dear. More money down the drain.
Not at all, one. It's doing me good already. Sir Gregory's very pleased with me.
Blimey. The permanent undersecretary's pleased with you, Mr. Lamb.
At last he seems to realize how valuable I am. Only yesterday he said I ought to be locked up.
Oh, here, that reminds me. Sir Gregory rang just now. He's coming to see you both.
Oh, dear me. Look, better clear that rubbish off your desk, too.
It isn't rubbish. The Royal School of Dynamism is unique.
The Royal School?
Yes, next week I get a diploma from the principal, Tobias J. Royal. A real diploma for only £5 extra. He's very pleased with me.
Yes, I can imagine. Sounds to me like an absolute charlatan.
Never. I'll bet he's a rotten swindler. You know, you want to watch it, Mr. Lamb. There's a lot of evil people about.
Not that many, surely, Mildred.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, perhaps you're right. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Sir Trickery. Sir Gregory.
Why is Lamb sitting there baring his teeth at me? Are you being moronic, Lamb?
No, Sir Gregory. Dynamic. I'm smiling, you see.
Look the other way, Sir Gregory, then you won't see.
I'm here to talk about security. It's time we tightened up ministry crime prevention.
Ah, no, I agree, sir. Yes, I've always felt our safe should have a door on it.
As it is, anyone can just walk in and take our teapot.
I'm talking about documents and money being transferred between buildings. From now on, these will be carried in our new super security van.
Oh, good. Then I shan't have to cycle from the bank every week with the Ministry of Wages.
No.
I've always thought we needed safer methods.
Safer methods, exactly. If you've got that into your head, you've got it in a nutshell.
I mean, last week I had to balance the cash box and my weekend shopping on the handlebars.
Indeed.
And a cucumber I bought for Mrs. Bradley and a nightshirt I had to collect.
Two, please. We don't want anything. A new security van, eh, Sir Gregory? Well, that sounds interesting.
Yes, it has a foolproof operating system to deal with any emergency.
Ah, well, perhaps you'll have a chance to see it, sir.
You'll have a chance to drive it, Lennoxbourne, tomorrow, on its trial run to the Bank of England.
Oh, yes. Well, now, I didn't ask you to drive it, Sir Gregory. I mean, these vans, well, you know, they do get attacked, and my bowler hat isn't bulletproof. And I do...
Lennoxbourne, the whole point of this van is it's safe from attack. Any weak-kneed fool can operate it.
Thank you, Sir Gregory.
Well, I'm glad I'm having nothing to do with it.
Well, you'll have plenty to do with it, Lamb. You're going with Lennoxbourne as security guard.
Oh, glory, surely.
Will you give me a cosh, Sir Gregory?
Any time, Lamb. With pleasure. But this van isn't intended for professional guards. It's for use by ordinary ministry staff. That's why you are to test it.
I'd hate to be hijacked tomorrow. It's Kiffer night.
In the unlikely event of anyone wanting to hijack you, they'd be foiled immediately by a homing device.
A homing device, sir?
In an emergency, the van returns to base quickly and automatically by radio control steering.
I say, my landlady could do with one of those to get her back from the pub.
Well, sir, as you set us this task, we shall see it through, sir. Oh, yes. Just you leave it all to us, sir.
I shall certainly not leave it all to you, Lennox Brown. I'll be in the control room here in radio contact throughout your journey. Now be ready to leave at midday.
Yes, sir. Lennox Brown to base. Lennox Brown to base. Van traveling eastwards. All systems, roger. How do you read me?
Like an extremely boring book. Cut out all that roger nonsense. Tell Lamb to give me your position.
Yes, sir, Mr. Gregory. He's sort of hunched up over the wheel. I'm eating my packed lunch with my nose resting lightly on the windscreen.
I want to know the van's position.
Oh. We are in Trafalgar Square, sir.
Very well. I want you to try a fast acceleration as if in emergency. Pull the blue lever by the passenger seat, Lamb.
I've done that, sir. Oh, this is exciting.
We're going too fast for comfort, sir.
All right. Ease off the lever, Lamb.
I can't, Sir Gregory. My meat pie is stuck behind it.
Oh. Good Lord, can't you do anything right? Better switch on the throttle control. Listen carefully. It's the red switch.
Yeah, found it. I've done it, Sir Gregory.
The red switch on the floor, not the one on the dashboard. That's evasive action.
Oh, dear. Too late, silly me.
Oh, we're swerving from side to side. What have you done to you?
I don't know, but I think we're being followed. I'll press this anti-following button.
Here is a message for motorists. A security van is out of control in the West End of London. Having zigzagged north from Whitehall, it drove down the Burlington Arcade and emerged with a commissionaire sitting on the bonnet. It's now doubled back and is speeding round and round the statue of Eros in Piccadilly Circus, chased by three police cars. It's belching blue smoke and firing rubber bullets. Motorists are advised to avoid this area. And now, back to Desert Island Discs.
Excuse me, Sir Gregory. Can I come in the control room? I hear there's a bit of trouble.
No, the fools, the idiots. The van's out of control. They're out of control, and so am I. Lamb must have broken the radio. All I was getting was the news in Welsh. And now it's packed up altogether.
Here, look at that street map on the wall. There's a little light moving along.
Well, that moving light represents the van's position so that I can keep track of them.
Blimey, are they going fast? Right up the middle of that big blue road.
That big blue road is the River Thames.
Hello, they're back on the embankment. The light's moving even faster. Yeah. It's coming down Whitehall.
Ah, thank heavens, they've switched on the homing device.
They'll soon be back here.
It can't be soon enough for me. Just wait till I get my hands on them.
They're coming straight at the ministry. Towards us.
Good Lord, they're not slowing down.
Quick, Sir Gregory, under the table.
New security van.
Yeah, and look what they've done to your wall. But what went wrong, Mr. Lennox Brown? They said they'd made the van foolproof.
Well, they hadn't met a fool like Lamb. Pulled all the wrong levers, pressed all the wrong buttons, and made every possible mistake.
Honestly, every possible one?
Those he missed on the journey, he made when we stopped. It's like trying to open the door and switching on the emergency locking device.
So that's why you were both locked in there.
Yes, and those were the longest 3 days of my life.
It's lucky I could feed you through the ventilator.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Mildred. But I never want to see another miniature Swiss roll as long as I live.
Well, it's the only thing that would fit. And I suppose the Sir Gregory bit was another wrong switch.
Which Sir Gregory bit?
When he approached the van and a boxing glove shot out on the end of a spring and hit him.
Yes, that was Lamb. And I still can't forgive him.
Oh, poor Mr. Lamb. I hear he was deaf and blind for an hour after the crash.
Only because he jammed his bowler hat down over his face. Now, don't waste your sympathy, Mildred. I've had enough of Lamb's incompetence. Yes, he's got to go.
Mr. Lamb?
Uh-huh.
Go?
Yes.
You couldn't, sir.
My mind's made up. This is the last straw. He hangs round my neck like a...
Mills bomb?
I was going to say millstone, but yours is better. I shall ask him to resign.
Sorry I'm late, Van, but I had to see Matron. She put another plaster on my nose.
Poor Mr. Lamb, you look horrible.
Thank you, Mildred.
Why on earth are you wearing khaki shorts?
My trousers got torn in the accident. I'm waiting for Mrs. Bradford to patch them.
She needn't bother to. Not now.
Oh, you like the shorts, do you?
Too. I want to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. Mildred, make Mr. Lamb some tea, would you please? Very strong.
Yeah.
Righty-ho, sir.
Mildred, please, don't keep saying righty-ho. You know it upsets me.
Sorry, sir.
Yeah. Sit down, Joe.
Righty-ho, man.
You and I have been working together many years now.
Yes, and hasn't it been fun?
Yeah. Yes, well, it's been a long time, too, but nothing lasts forever, you know. The time has come when I need a quiet life. I'm not getting any younger, and I can't take the strain anymore.
I quite understand, man.
You do?
Yes, if you want to retire, don't worry about me. You go right ahead and resign.
Me resign? What are you talking about? I want you to resign.
What? What have I done?
What have you done? I can't begin to give you a list.
But I couldn't leave the ministry. Where could I go? What could I do?
Well, you needn't leave altogether. I could fix you a job downstairs. Something more suited to your talents.
You mean in the filing section?
No, in the boiler room.
Please give me one more chance. Well, perhaps a couple of chances to be on the safe side.
No, I'm sorry. It's not only me, you know. Sir Gregory went berserk when you wrecked that van, especially as he came to rest on his foot. He's still hopping mad at you.
Last paragraph, Miss Bentwater. Furthermore, as Richard Lamb is totally unsuited for employment within the civil service, comma, for the 78 reasons listed above, I strongly urge his instant and ignominious dismissal. Stop. I am, sir, your obedient servant, G.O.D. Pitkin. That will be all, Miss Bentwater. At least, until this evening, shall we say, 6:30. Run along now back to the typing pool. You provocative little minx, you. I've got rid of Lamb at last, after all these nightmare years. Oh, I think this calls for large brandy. A day to remember and cherish. Oh, blast. Come in.
I'm afraid I'm a little early for our appointment, Sir Gregory.
Oh, yes, you're the fellow from the Ministry of Technology. Well, come in, do.
Bunsen, Dr. Bunsen. I'm their industrial psychiatrist.
What? Psychiatrist? Well, there's nothing wrong with me. Just because I threw that typewriter through the window last week,
No, Sir Gregory. I'm an industrial psychiatrist. And I'm here to talk about one of your staff, Richard Lamb.
Lamb? Oh!
You know the man? Could we have a word about him?
I can think of several, yes. But don't worry, I've just arranged his dismissal.
What? Oh, but you can't. You mustn't. I mean, he's invaluable.
He should be gone within it. What did you say? Invaluable?
Yes.
Richard Lamb is of no value whatsoever. Whatever task he's given, if it's possible to make a mistake, he'll make it.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. At the Ministry of Technology, we need someone like Lamb because of his unique ability to make every possible mistake.
Well, I don't understand.
We want to test any new device on Lamb. Now, if he can't make it go wrong, we'll know that no one can.
Oh, no.
That security van has already been greatly modified as a result of what he did.
So you actually think he's valuable?
And we're most anxious to have him working for us. But we can't tell him why. That would spoil his spontaneous flair for creating chaos. The Prime Minister wants you to talk to him. Persuade him to accept promotion with us.
Yeah, but if I talk to Lamb for more than 30 seconds, I feel like biting him.
If you can get him for us, it'll be a great feather in your cap, Sir Gregory.
Oh, well, that's different.
Please see him soon. You see, he's building an international reputation as a great fool. We think the Americans are after him.
I'll see him tomorrow, Dr. Bunsen.
And remember, don't kill his natural stupidity.
That would be very difficult.
Mr. Lennox Brown was really nasty, Mildred. He said if I wasn't gone in a week, he'd cut off my extension.
Poor Mr. Lamb, it's a blooming shame.
Then he had the cheek to offer me a job in the boiler room.
Oh, what a stupid idea. We don't want the central heating going wrong.
Well, I don't care now. Guess what I got in the post this morning?
That plastic duck luck you saved the soap coupons for.
No, even better than that. The correspondence course, I've got my diploma.
Your diploma?
Yeah, you remember, the Royal School of Dynamism. I'm now a licentiate.
Oh!
Look at this. Gold letters and real cardboard. It says, this is to certify Richard Lamb.
What, is that all?
Yes. No. This is to certify Richard Lamb has completed his studies in business and personality development.
Congratulations, Mr. Lamb.
Thank you, Mildred. This will make a big difference to my life. I don't care about the ministry anymore. Big firms will be bidding for my services. Hello, Richard Lamb, business licentiate.
Good day to you, Mr. Lamb. My name is Nathan B. Lockheed of the United States Department of Technology.
Yes, can I help you?
I will take an affirmative position on that, Mr. Lamb. That is to say, yes.
I beg your pardon?
I am in telephonic communication with you, Mr. Lamb, as I am desirous that you and I undertake personalized social contact. That is to say, can you have lunch with me today?
Thank you very much.
In view of your immediate and welcome acceptance, I will arrange for expeditious transportation. And that is to say, my car will pick you up at 12 o'clock. Bye.
Goodbye. I say, some American wants to take me out to lunch.
Never.
Yes, he must have heard about my diploma. You see, Mildred, I really am popular and dynamic.
You could have fooled me.
Oh, waiter, I'm expecting a Mr. Lamb for an appointment lunch-wise. He's very late. You haven't seen him by any chance?
Would he be a civil service gentleman, sir?
Correct.
Well, sir, a gentleman with a bowler hat and briefcase walked into our garbage lift by mistake. He's just been found upside down in a bin of old Brussels sprouts and potato peelings.
Oh, that's the guy. That's just got to be him. He sounds perfect.
He would appear to be accident-prone, sir.
Great, just great.
When he went to wash and brush up, he entered the ladies' powder room in it all. And then he rushed out and fell over the sweet trolley. Oh, this is him now with the sherry trifle on his shoulders.
I say, I'm Mr. Lockheed. Are you Nathan B. Lamb? Oh, silly me.
Look, sit down, Mr. Lamb. Relax. Oh, and boy, have I got a proposition for you, job-wise. Okay, waiter, bring us the menu.
Very good, sir.
Now listen to me, Lamb. What do you earn? Just give me a rough figure.
£6.03.
For a man of your caliber, £6 per hour is poor.
No, not £6 an hour, £6 a week. You see, I'm still grade M.
If you come and work for us, we'll give you 10 times what the head of your department now earns salary-wise. Say, £50,000 a year.
What about lunch vouchers?
Sure, anything.
What sort of job is this?
The experimental work, testing things.
Oh, I love trying anything new.
Yeah, so I've heard. Work for us, Mr. Lamb, and you'll find wall-to-wall carpets, piped music, colored fountains playing all day.
Is that my office?
No, that's your secretary's. Yours is bigger, better. Waiter, 2 bottles of champagne.
Everyone, here I am, dynamic, popular Richard Lamb.
Two, you're late. And how dare you enter the office carrying 3 champagne bottles and smoking 2 cigars?
I'm sorry I'm late, old fruit, but my jacket got jammed in the restaurant revolving doorways.
If you carry on like this, you know, you'll be leaving sooner than you thought.
Ah, suits me. I've just had an offer, job-wise. I'm going to be part of the brain drain.
Really? Who drained yours?
They want me in America to join their department of to make a lot of money.
You? Don't make me laugh, too.
Well, mind you, I couldn't accept.
Why not, Mr. Lamb?
I fell asleep under the table. Mr. Lockheed's phoning me tomorrow, and I'll take the job. He offered me $60,000 a year.
Am I dreaming?
But I pushed him up to $50,000. All thanks to my correspondence course.
My dear fellow, you're here, are you? Nice to see you.
And very nice to see you, Sir Gregory.
Oh, not you, Lennox Brown. Oh. I want to have a word with my friend, young Lamb, here.
I am dreaming.
It's more like a blooming nightmare.
Sorry I'm late back from lunch.
Late? My goodness, why not? All work and no play makes Dick a dull boy, what? What?
I was out with this American gentleman.
What? American, you say? Not the Department of Technology, I hope.
Yes, the Department of... what you said.
He didn't offer you a job, did he?
This will amuse you, Sir Gregory. It certainly made me laugh. Lamb says he did.
What, Lennox Brown? Offered you a job, eh, Mr. Lamb? Well, we shan't let him steal your unique talents from our shores. I'm sure you don't really want to go and work for these American chaps, do you?
Excuse me, sir, but there's two men outside wanting to see Mr. Lamb urgently. A Russian and a Chinese gentleman.
Tell them Mr. Lamb can't see them.
Oh, rightio, sir.
No, I was saying, Mr. Lamb, I'll outbid these foreign fellas. Here, have another cigar. One of yours has gone out.
Oh, thank you.
Here. Now, our chaps want you to start at once. There's a new time lock fitted to our safety vault. Dr. Bunsen wants you to test it tomorrow.
All right, Sir Gregory.
Look, why don't we toddle down to my club and celebrate your promotion? Have a chat and a couple of brandies, what?
Yes, let's. After you, Gregory.
Not at all. After you, Richard.
Well, we're all set. Lamb is ready to test the time lock.
Can you explain, Dr. Bunsen, why Lamb's so vital to your work? I still find it so hard to grasp.
Well, he's ideal for testing any new device. If it's possible to make a mistake, Lamb will make it. Oh. We can then modify the equipment so that it's really foolproof.
You might say Lamb is a sort of foolproof fool.
Yes, yes indeed. Now, I'll just slip next door and start him off. A final check, Mr. Lamb. As you see, the door is controlled by a time lock. We want you to set it to close for 48 hours.
I see.
We've every confidence in you, Mr. Lamb, so we'll just leave you to get on with it in your own way. See you later. Well, he's started, gentlemen. Is he coming through on the closed circuit television?
All too clearly. Well, now we'll see what Lamb gets up to when he thinks no one's watching.
You see, it has to be done this way. If he knew he was being observed, he'd get self-conscious.
Good Lord. Look what he's doing.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me.
I think he's going to balance his bowler hat on it.
I wish he'd stop fooling around with his umbrella and get on with the lock.
Ah, he's dropped the lot.
He's starting on the time lock now.
Dear me, he's setting it outside the door. I thought he'd be stupid enough to set it from the inside.
He's setting the time now, isn't he?
Good Lord, it's absolutely correct.
He's on to the day and hour levers. Oh, he's getting them right, too.
This looks bad. He should have made three mistakes by now.
Yeah, well, give him time, Dr. Bunsen. He's always a slow starter.
Now he seems to be looking at himself in the shiny door.
Ah, yes, this is promising. He's pulling funny faces at his own reflection.
No, I'm afraid not. That's his normal expression.
Good grief. He shut the door and timed the handle correctly. Oh, but this is hopeless, utterly hopeless.
Incredible.
He's a failure, a total failure. He could have done all sorts of stupid things. I expected him to lock himself in.
Typical. Lamb hasn't made a single mistake. Now wait till I get my hands on him.
We'll have to go through and tell him. We certainly can't use him anymore. Mr. Lamb, I'll be as tactful as I can. You're no good. A complete dead loss.
But I didn't do anything wrong.
That's just it, too.
You're no good to us now. And the Americans won't want you either.
But why not?
Now, quiet, Lamb. Get back to your office. Come along, gentlemen. No need to waste any more time here.
They don't want me. The Americans don't want me. But I'm dynamic. It says so on my diploma.
How does it go, Mr. Lamb?
I can't understand it, Mildred. I did everything right, and they all told me off and walked out.
Are you sure you did it right? Perhaps you'd better check.
Well, all right. I hadn't locked it, and I left the light on inside. No wonder they got upset.
Yeah, now careful, Mr. Lamb.
It's all right, Mildred. I'll just release the catch so that it locks properly. Then I'll go in and put the light off, and I'll pull the door shut.
No, Mr. Lamb, not while you're inside. Oh, Mr. Lamb, you've done it now. It's all your fault. Help! Help! Mr. Lamb's locked in!
Mud Travelling through as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley and John Graham. The programme was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.